Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
We ain't nobody's fool. We shaking up the system. Rewrite unwritten rules. We speak the world won't listen. We shine. Seals, your favorite comedian and common sense specialist, the most likable, unlikable. How's everybody doing out there? It has, again, Supreme just be laughing.
Nah, it was the computer voice. It was a computer voice that time. The most likable, unlikable. It's a clone of Amanda over here.
You know, I just be on my, you know, I be just on my Amanda weirdness. So we are here on April 22nd. Happy Monday to everybody who made it to Monday. Hope you had a restful weekend, or if the goal was to be productive, I hope you had a productive weekend. But none of y'all's weekend could compete with my level of productivity. So I just want to put that out there now, okay? And I know you're like, Amanda, why you hating on us? You know what I'm saying? Like, can we live? And it's like, yes, you can. But when I tell you about my weekend, you're going to be like, I got to give it to you, shorty. I got to give you that. So you got to stick around to hear about my weekend, all right? It is National Jelly Bean Day. Quick, Supreme, what is the best tasting jelly bean?
I have to go with the red one. The red one, yeah.
It's incorrect. There's only one right answer. And the right answer is,
please, like, don't you say ask me. Black. Don't say black.
Absolutely not. Okay. The right answer is the popcorn.
Okay, you that's the fancy jelly beans with the little
jelly belly.
Yeah.
The correct answer to what's the favorite, what's the best, because I didn't ask you what your favorite was. I asked you what's what is the best tasting jelly bean.
I'm with
it's
you
the popcorn.
I'm
with now you someone in our chat said that it's black jelly beans. And I don't know about you, Supreme, but I feel like people who like black jelly beans, I feel like I gotta wash them. I feel like I can't trust you.
Something
I can't
with
trust
black
you.
Air Force Ones at this point.
If you want to be in our chat, we are always on Instagram Live when we're recording. Make sure you follow us at Seal Set It on Instagram to find out our schedule so that you can join us. All right. Passover is also beginning today. So for all y'all who are locked in on that side of things, shout out to y'all. Passover is Passovering. It is also Earth Day. National Earth Day, which means nothing to all the corporations that are using up the earth every day. But for the rest of us, yay. It's also National Girl Scout Leaders Day. So shout out to all you Girl Scout leaders who are, you know, getting them badges together and making them cookies get sold, pushing them cookies like weight. You feel me? they got them kids on corners, right? There's a little cook with the cookies. All right, coming up today, we got to talk about my alma mater. The students at Columbia University have showed up and showed out despite the school trying to silence them. They continue to. I got a chance to step out there, so we're going to talk about that. Also, out of the states, Wisconsin decided that, you know, missing black women, not really that important. So we're going to get into that. We're also going to talk about why, speaking of Wisconsin, Milwaukee may not be the best place to move to. And we've got a Milwaukeean in the house who might even feel like the need to chime in.
Right.
For the Big Up Let Down, we got a chess master, a break dancer, and Amigo.
I got to hear that one.
Stick around to see how all that adds up. Stay connected with us 24/7 on socials. Again, at Seal Set It, and give us a call 1-855-AMANDA-8. That's 1-855-262-6328. It's time to listen, laugh, and learn right here on the Amanda Seal Show. Show. I am Amanda Seals, your favorite comedian and common sense specialist. It's time for Black Hero News. Over 100 Columbia University and Barnard College students were arrested, including Ilhan Omar, Representative Ilhan Omar's daughter, after refusing to leave a pro-Palestinian encampment on campus, resulting in their suspension from the university. Update, as of Saturday night, they had also taken over, they had taken back the lawn and also put tents back there. And it's commencement season. by the way. So because of this, Columbia is unable to use that lawn for commencement. And so they lost like a bunch of money. So they were like, success, success. Students involved in the protests may face consequences such as having their IDs deactivated and being barred from finishing the semester. Just want to remind everybody, they've paid their tuition. Okay. They've paid their tuition. These are peaceful protests. They are absolutely peaceful. There is no sign of anything other than just people being there in physical form. And they also did not consult the faculty in making these decisions. And that is something that, in talking to my friends who are professors, is actually apparently very new in terms of how these colleges are functioning. They're actually making decisions based on their trustees versus on the people who actually work with these students. And okay. So you're seeing a lot of faculty who are also now pushing back and saying, we don't support this. You know, we don't support this. I went up to Columbia and was there in solidarity with the students this weekend as long as I could be. And then I had to go to another stop. But it just really is, I think, another indicator of people who think this country is moving forward when it hasn't. You know, like we think about the Kent State protests. We think about just the amount of protesting that took place during the 60s, you know, at Berkeley and in the 60s. Like student, listen, the protests in the civil rights movement were started by students.
Yeah, most of because the luncheon thing was students.
Students. That was Fisk University. That was kids who were getting arrested and expelled from school. And that's a story. That's a part of the story that a lot of people don't know. So when we sit here now, we see these students. I see people say things like, I don't know what the point of this is. I don't know what the point of it
is. Really?
Oh, my gosh. Yes.
Oh, yeah. I have seen people see that on social media. It's like, it's mainly about blocking the traffic. People mad that they were late somewhere. So, yeah. Yeah.
So one thing I want to clear up is that what these students are protesting is they want their universities to divest from Israel because they are acknowledging that Israel is an apartheid state. The same thing happened in the 80s with South Africa.
Okay.
Same exact thing.
Yep.
And the great part that we're seeing now is how this is spreading. So they've got Yale doing this now, UNC, Harvard, I believe Princeton joined in, the New School, USC, and there's schools overseas that are now joining in, because the reality is that divestment means you're taking money away that you are giving to Israel. And we are seeing this government just dedicate billions and billions and billions and billions of dollars of tax money. So folks are trying to focus on at least the insular spaces that they feel like they have more control over. If you are a student paying tuition, you would feel like you, as a, the same way that citizens paying taxes feel like we should be able to say what our taxes get spent on.
Yep.
That's what they're saying.
Okay. That's a lot for college students to be that active without any faculty members or anything like that. So salute to them. Like that's really, you know,
commendable.
And that's what I said, they're putting it all on the line.
They're putting it all on the line. You know, they're taking students to their dorm, telling them you got 15 minutes to get your belongings. When they cleared the tents out, the cops cleared the tents out with their personal belongings in there. And it was other students and protesters that actually went and took the tents out of the trash cans and fished out these students' backpacks and bagged them up so that the students could come back and get them, because that's how little their belongings mattered. These are students of a university that's supposed to be this Ivy League, this prestigious place. It means so much to get into, and this is how you're treating them?
Like straight criminals.
It's unconscionable. Like straight criminals. And I was up there, and it feels like a military state.
Okay.
So real quick, I went up there. I went up there, and the homie Chris Smalls from the Amazon Labor Union was there the night before. So I was like, yo, I'm trying to come out there. Like, you know, can you get me on campus? So he's like, bet, I got you. So we're standing there waiting to go on campus. And there were some students next to us that were like beating pans, saying, you know, there was beating pans and chanting, you know, like free Palestine, et cetera. We go on campus. I speak, we come back out. And the same young lady that was standing next to us is now zip tied, handcuffed, and getting on the police bus. And she's like, Amanda, they got me. They got me. I cannot express to you all how many cops are out here at this college when these students are literally just intense.
Yeah, and that's not a cheap ticket either, Columbia, to be getting kicked out of school. So, yeah, I think the parents are really going to be the end all be all when it comes to.
Well, that's what should happen next. Yeah. The parents should be showing up. Yeah. But shout out to all my alum and shout out to all the folks there that are putting it on the line. We see you. We appreciate you. We honor you. And we always have to ask this very important question. Because when it comes to keeping people of color marginalized, discrimination doesn't discriminate. The same institutions that punish students for speaking up are the same places that give them honorary degrees years later when that advocacy puts them in positions to change the world. Mm-hmm. So listen, we shouldn't have to wait that long. When we get back, we got more for you. I'll talk about my weekend. Keep it locked right here to the Amanda Seale Show.
The Amanda Seale Show.
We up, we up, we up.
McDonald's is not new to chicken. So maybe stop questioning their chicken cred and get your hands on the McCrispy. Juicy fried chicken, buttery bun, unmatched pickle to chicken ratio. Yeah, they know what they're doing. In fact, we can honestly say they're not new to chicken. They're true to chicken. The McCrispy. Only at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Welcome back to the Amanda Seale Show. I'm Amanda Seales. Let me give you my weekend recap real quick. Supreme, what did you do this weekend?
This weekend, me and my wife went on a date. So we went to we went to the African American History Museum in DC and we only got through the top two floors, but it was definitely dope. It was definitely dope. A lot of stuff in there that I didn't even know. They had all kinds of memorabilia. I got to see Jay Dilla's MPC 3000. Yep. So dope. Shout to DC.
That's my kind of date. I love that for y'all. Yeah. Okay, Black Love, Black History. Okay. Well, that's cute. But this is what I did this weekend, okay?
Here we go.
Because I feel like I should get a pat on the back. First of all, my weekend started on Thursday. So I had to do Club Shay Shay on Thursday. Okay. When I say had to do, I mean, I had to prepare. Okay. Because it's a 3-hour interview for all those who are paying attention. It's a 3-hour interview. It drops on Wednesday.
Okay.
Then on Friday, I took a red eye. So my flight left at 11:58. Mm-hmm. I got to New York City on Saturday morning at 8 a.m.
Okay.
I got my car. My car service, and I went straight to Columbia. So I went to Columbia and sat around and waited for things to turn up a little bit so that I could get on campus and, you know, show support and solidarity to the students. Then I went from Columbia, which is in Harlem, to Brooklyn to have lunch at Cheryl's restaurant. And that's across from the Brooklyn Museum with my former professor, Professor Donna Ayin Davis. So we had lunch. Then we went to the Brooklyn Museum, where I spoke on a panel with Celine Simon of the Slow Factory and India Moore. And the panel was about collective rage for collective movement. And it was such a beautiful event. Like, it's just so dope getting to be invited to events where literally everyone in the building is there because they care about people. not because they care about networking, not because they care about money. They're like, we're here because we care about like the earth. We care about humanity, et cetera. So that was super just a loving like space, especially with all that I've been dealing with. Like people were really on some like, I see you, sister.
Yeah, that's nice.
Then we went in the Brooklyn Museum and saw the When They Were Giants, which is the exhibit of Swiss Beatz and Alicia Keys' art collection of African-American artists. So that was beautiful. And then from there, I went to dinner with them, which some people may be like, big whoop, you went to dinner. Do you see how much socializing I just had to do all day?
Yeah, that was
like the cancer in me is like, oh my God, please don't talk to me at dinner. But you know, he was talking to me at dinner. So we had a lovely dinner. Then I got on in the car, went back to the airport at 9:30 p.m. flight, upon which a woman decided she needed to switch seats from me because I was wearing my keffiyeh, which supports the liberation of Palestine.
Damn, that's why she asked to move from the seat.
She literally was sitting next to me and turned to me and goes, I'm Jewish. Is it going to be a problem sitting next to me? And I said, I didn't even know you were Jewish. And no, are you Zionist? Well, yes, I'm Jewish, so I'm a Zionist. And I said, well, that's not how it works. I mean, that's just because you're Jewish doesn't make you a Zionist. And she said, well, is it going to be a problem? And I said, the genocide is the problem.
Okay.
Not sitting next to you. And she just looked at me and was like, and then she got up and was able to get them to move. Her and her two kids, they got three people to move. So that was my Saturday.
That's crazy. You had boots on the ground and you was about to put boots in.
Listen, a real one since day one. So, you know, y'all, I feel like I should get a pat on the back because that's a hell of a productive Saturday. All right. Yeah, hell of a productive Saturday. So make sure you keep it locked right here. 1-855-AMANDA-8. That's 1-855-262-6328. We'll be right back to the Amanda Seale Show.
The Amanda Seale Show.
We up, we up, we up.
McDonald's is not new to chicken. So maybe stop questioning their chicken cred and get your hands on the McCrispy. Juicy fried chicken, buttery bun, unmatched pickle to chicken ratio. Yeah, they know what they're doing. In fact, we can honestly say they're not new to chicken. They're true to chicken. The McCrispy. Only at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Welcome back to the Amanda Seale Show. It's Amanda Seales here, and it's time for Supreme to get y'all in the know with the 60-second headlines.
All right. Tomorrow, the Senate will vote on a $95 billion foreign aid package passed by the House, which includes funding for Ukraine and Israel. The package also features a bill to ban TikTok if it remains unsold to a U.S. company by next year.
So Republicans had resisted sending aid to Ukraine for months. So House Speaker Mike Johnson had to come over to Democrats to get the spending bill passed. As for TikTok, if the Senate approves the bill, it's expected to face legal challenges. But nonetheless, I just think this is a very good indicator that this government ain't our government.
Right. I'm like, who asked for any of this? Who asked for like, any of it?
Nobody. Nope. None of that.
A jury has been picked, and today opening statements begin in the case known as the People of the State of New York versus Donald J. Trump. This begins the first criminal prosecution of an American president.
First time for everything. He's accused of hiding payments to two mistresses, including an adult film star and a Playboy model, in an effort to keep his affairs quiet to influence the 2016 election. And the reality is, people be like, well, this is not fair and it's undemocratic. And I think it's really important that last little line there. He did it in an effort to influence the election. Okay. So he was too busy trying to make America pay again. That's what he's doing. Make sure you buy one of them Bibles, them Trump Bibles. Oh my gosh.
Speaking of which, you know who's worried about the impact of the upcoming election? Rich people. So much so that they're getting second or even third citizenships from different countries just in case things here go left. It's all in an effort to protect their financial assets.
So apparently the top destinations include Portugal, Greece, and Italy. Pretty soon other countries are going to start building walls to keep us out.
That's something right there. Congratulations are in order for WNBA star Brittany Griner and her wife Sherelle. The couple recently announced they were expecting a baby in 3 months.
Listen, after what they went through, this is such a blessing. So congrats to them. Okay, congrats to them. Those are your 60-second headlines. Up next, we will go to the phone lines. Give us a call, 1-855-AMANDA-8. It's 1-855-262-6328. We'll be right back to the Amanda Seale Show.
The Amanda Seale Show.
We up, we up, we up.
Welcome back, y'all. It's the Amanda Seale Show. I am Amanda Seales. And let's go to the phone line, Supreme. Let's who's out there? Who wants to talk to us?
Hi, I'm Lauren, and I appreciate your show today on Instagram. I wanted to say I'm too old to be unaccountable, so I'd really like to clarify that a little further, but too many people I know, too many people my age are unaccountable to themselves and others. And I think I am too old for it, so I'm trying to be more and more accountable, first to myself and others. Thanks for having this show. I like the topic. And I love you, Amanda. Bye.
Thank you. You know what that sounds like? A mature person.
Right.
That's why she says she's too old. She's too old for that. You know? Because by this age, you realize that, like, saying my bad or saying I'm sorry when you really, like, made an error, like, it ain't going to kill you. It ain't.
It's not at all. It's not. It's not. Sometimes you just be like, oh, I didn't know, my bad. Moving forward, we'll work it out. There you go.
Listen, here it is, Supreme. You just nailed it. There you go. Y'all got a template right there. That's it. You know what? You know what's not it, though? We still have more shows, so stick around. 1-855-MAN-8 is the number. 1-855-262-6328. Coming up next hour, find out what state let time run out to protect Black women. And we also got the big up let down. It involves a grandmaster, a dude catfight, and a diminishing IQ. Ooh, can't wait to see what this is. Keep it locked right here.
The Amanda Seale Show.
We up, we up, we up.
Shaking up the system, rewrite unwritten rules. We speak the world on this time.
We shine and rise. We up, we up, we up.
The Amanda Seale Show.
Send it, y'all.
We up, we up, we up.
Welcome back, y'all. It's the Amanda Seale Show. I am Amanda Seales, the most likable unlikable. If you haven't got your tickets to the Unlikable Tour, where I will be telling jokes on stages across the nation, then you need to do that. Go to AmandaSeales.com. That's right. Go to AmandaSeales.com and get your tickets and see when I'm going to be in a city near you. Happy birthday. If you're celebrating your birthday today, you are also celebrating with Kathy Hughes. Yes.
Hey, Ms. H.
Also, Sherry Shepherd. That's the homie right there. That is the homie right there. So you're sharing your birthday with some dope sisters. Now, coming up this hour in Black Urine News, for our new segment called State of the States, we're heading to Wisconsin, the cheese state, Wisconsin. It's living up to its ranking of being dangerous for Black people. They said, you know what? We're just going to hold on to that. We're going to hold on to it. And the French are not even hiding their racism. They said, voila! Racist. So we're going to get into that. Plus, we got a big up let down. I want to know what you think about the show. I also want you to share your things you learned this week. All right. 1-855-MANDA-8 is the number. Let's go to the phones.
Hey, this is Dee from Miami. And I honestly just wanted to say I've been rocking with you since my brother and me. And I'm so proud of everything that you've done, everything that you continue to do. Keep showing up, keep fighting for us. And just know those who know, know. Those who get it, get it. And those who don't, don't.
Okay. Those who know, know. Those who don't, know. Those who get it. And those who don't, don't.
That sounds like
take
a t-shirt.
That, I know, right? You get to put that out. We'll be right back, y'all. Keep it locked. Remember, if you want to check out the show, go to wherever you get your podcasts. We'll be right back.
McDonald's is not new to chicken. So maybe stop questioning their chicken cred and get your hands on the McCrispy. Juicy fried chicken, buttery bun, unmatched pickle to chicken ratio. Yeah, they know what they're doing. In fact, we can honestly say they're not new to chicken. They're true to chicken. The McCrispy. Only at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
The Amanda Seale Show. Amanda Seale Show. I'm Amanda Seales, and it's time for our new segment, The State of States, where we keep y'all informed about all the wild stuff that be happening state to state. Now, today, we're talking about Wisconsin, all right? Wisconsin got a bill that would have created a task force on missing and murdered African-American women, and the bill failed. Why did it fail to pass? Time ran out on a legislative session. So the necessity for this bill is that Wisconsin has seen disproportionately high homicide rates for Black women, with the rate doubling between 2019 and 2020. And while the Department of Justice has the authority to establish such a task force, you know, it's unclear if they will take action. And I know Ilhan Omar had worked to get this created with the DOJ. Years ago, Milwaukee was named the fourth worst place for Black people. And when I say years ago, I mean 2023.
Okay. Wow. Damn.
So like a year ago, like last year. Yeah. At least three people in government are trying to pass legislation directed at Black people. They're just, you know, there's just more people in government that don't give a damn. So I want to just have a certain level of silver lining there, that there are people who definitely make this type of effort to make legislation specifically for us, but it always gets knocked down because there aren't enough people that see that as valuable. And there definitely aren't enough people that see us as valuable. But, you know, I know that we have the Ebony Alert now. You know, there was the Amber Alert, now there's the Ebony Alert. But in order to get America to care about like the missing Black girls, we're going to have to attach them to missing white women. I mean, that's just, agree that that seems logical, right?
Yeah.
So I have come up with a fake Amber Alert to find our missing girls.
Attention all citizens. We have an urgent alert for a missing white girl named Madison McAllister. Madison is a 19-year-old college student with long, lustrous blonde hair, crystal blue eyes, and a penchant for pumpkin spice lattes. She's often seen wearing UGG boots, a North Face jacket, and carrying a Stanley cup everywhere she goes. Madison's constant companion is her Black best friend, Shaniqua Washington. Shaniqua is a 20-year-old with a fabulous afro, flawless melanin-rich skin, and a killer sense of style. She's known for her infectious laugh and her love of Beyoncé. Shaniqua would definitely be like wherever Madison is. Absolutely. She's absolutely wherever Maddie is. Yeah, Maddie for short. So America, if you truly love white women as much as I know you do, then, you know, finding Madison, Shaniqua, should be our top priority.
Action is being taken right now.
Right now. Right now. Right now. We always got to ask y'all this very, very important question.
Why should Black people care?
Listen, if you don't pay attention, the next Black woman who needs protection may be you or someone you love. Let me just add, the government is not going to do for us. It's shown this over and over and over again. It doesn't mean that we stop making demands of it, but what it means is that we have to internally create the structures that we want the government to do. And that's going to take internal community support as well as internal funding from spaces and places and people that will support this. And I want to just make it clear, y'all, you may not get money just from Black people. At this point, we have to expand our consciousness to look at who cares about people, who cares about humanity. And that is where the value is going to align. The money is going to come from people whose values line up with putting their money behind what they consider to be valuable. We'll be right back to the Amanda Seale Show.
The Amanda Seale Show.
We up, we up, we up.
It's the Amanda Seale Show, y'all. I'm Amanda Seales. Let's get into some pop culture. So this is wild. I mean, it's actually kind of like a Black around the world story. So one of France's most popular pop singers, Aya Nakamura, she's not Japanese, is getting racist attacks over being rumored to perform at the Olympics 2024 opening ceremonies.
Damn.
Remember the part where I said she's like one of their most popular pop singers?
Yeah.
So she is like, she's an icon in French culture. She was born in Mali, Africa. She grew up in France. She's supposed to be singing a song by Edith Piaf, who's a legendary French singer.
Okay.
I'm sure you've heard it yet. You've heard it. Like, that doesn't sound familiar to you? Like,
yeah,
you
that's the one.
Well, extremists are basically saying that she has no business representing their country on the world stage.
Damn.
Let's just say, for those who don't know her music, let's take a little listen.
J'ai vu comment tu m'as regardé. Mon charme a fait son effet. On verra, verra qui fera le premier pas. En tout cas, ce sera pas moi. On m'a dit t'es dangereux, mais t'es mignon. Ah, tu sais trop ma cam, oh non. Qui va me ramener des problèmes, je sais. Moi j'aime bien, tu connais quand c'est piment.
So I don't know what she's saying, but I mean, she's got the tone. She's got the beats. You know what I mean? Yeah. The song, that song, Degan, has nearly 85 million views.
Okay, she's doing her numbers.
So she's like a whole superstar. Whole entire superstar. Thankfully, she's expressed, I mean, she's gotten expressions of solidarity and support from her fans. But, you know, since racists don't want Aya to be great, I say we got to lean in, Supreme.
Okay.
We got to lean in. So I'm planning on stepping in as creative director for her performance at the Olympics. This is what I have planned. Walk with me. All right. Close your eyes. You see it. Aya Nakamura takes the stage with a regal afro crowned with golden accessories. She's wearing a tailored blazer with African patterns, flaunting her roots. Africa's all over. Underneath, she can rock a tricolor dress to represent France. Okay, yeah, fine, well, whatever. But for the accessories, she'll wear some like Mali-inspired jewelry, from chunky bracelets to bold earrings. Then, when she starts singing the French national anthem, she transitions into her native Malian dialect while incorporating traditional Malian dance moves into her performance. And just when the racists are about to storm the French parliament, like, vive la France, she invites other prominent artists of color to join her on stage, including gangsta French rappers like Booba and Caris. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, let's give them something to be mad about. I mean, I'm here for it. I'm here for it because y'all be acting up out there just because you just mad that Black people still exist. It's like, we are not going anywhere.
Why should Black people care?
We should care because racism is a global issue. I know sometimes people be like, why do we care? That's happening over there. Maybe it's over there. Then it's over here. It's everywhere. Progress made around the world also helps advance our movement. But Supreme, I feel like you had something to say. Can we come back to it with our?
Oh yeah, yeah. It was just a little suggestion.
Okay. So we're gonna put in that. We're gonna put a pin in that. We got Supreme, the creative director. He got something for you, Aya. When we get back a little later on, keep it locked right here. The Amanda Seale Show. I got a big up, let down for you.
The Amanda Seale Show.
We up.
McDonald's is not new to chicken. So maybe stop questioning their chicken cred and get your hands on the McCrispy. Juicy fried chicken, buttery bun, unmatched pickle to chicken ratio. Yeah, they know what they're doing. In fact, we can honestly say they're not new to chicken. They're true to chicken. The McCrispy. Only at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
It's time for the Big Up Letdown on the Amanda Seale Show. Big up.
Let down. Big up. Let down.
It's the Amanda Seale Show. Oh my gosh. It's me, Amanda Seales. And it's time for me to give you a big up, let down. I think it's time for that. Yeah, let's get into it. Today's
big up
goes to some strong Nigerian coffee that probably fueled Tunde Onakoya, a chess champ who decided to smash a Guinness Book world record by playing for 60 hours straight in the chaos of Times Square.
Sheesh.
Now, for those who don't know, that, like, honestly, just surviving Times Square for that long is a feat in itself, like, regardless of the chess games.
Yeah,
oh, I'm impressed about that. He was capturing knights while dodging Elmos, naked cowboys. I mean, it's impressive. It's impressive. You might actually know Tunde as the same guy who went viral for simultaneously schooling like 12 other white chess folks in a chess match. I mean, he was just going one by one by one. Gotcha.
Oh, I remember
gotcha.
That.
Shut it down. Checkmate. But his mission in breaking this world record was to rake in a cool $1 million for kids' education across Africa. And guess what? He hustled up $22,000 in just 20 hours. So that's what I call making moves with a purpose. So shout out to Tunde, the chess champion. Now, today's
letdown
goes to the fact that I even have to talk about this foolishness, honestly. Like, that's the letdown, that I even have to address a Chris Brown Quavo beef. What even is that? That it's like, but we have a radio show, so I have to do it. Chris Brown dropped a diss track aimed at Quavo, who is amigo, for dating Karrueche, because, you know, like, heaven forbid someone else date his ex, who, by the way, had a restraining order against him. Yeah, so, like, that happened. Unfortunately, like, we still live in a society where in some guys' minds, like, women are their property. And so some people are really hyping up the song. Okay, like, they're hyping it up. Yay, like, he was rapping, but he's like a singer, but he rapped really well. But you know, I'm Amanda. So I'm not gonna come at it the same way everybody come at it. Cause sometimes I'm coming from a different angle. And this angle is really, who cares? Who cares? Like, unless, so like, okay, like, I'm gonna tell you why drag women into a beef that they didn't even start. And someone say, but Amanda, what about Tupac, and hit him up? He thought that Biggie was trying to kill him. So that's like a different situation, okay? There's a, you can hear it in the virulence of his anger. Different scenario. I don't even know how this even started. Like, was that, like, what? I have a feeling this has to do with like a text conversation or something, which is so not gangsta at all. Then it's like, if Chris really did mess with Sweetie, like, then while she was with Quavo, like, isn't that more of like a Sweetie scenario issue? Like, why is that a reflection of Quavo? And last but not least, I will just say this. Quavo is still mourning the loss of his family. He literally was there when Takeoff's life was taken. Mm-hmm. So I just feel like I think he should be hands off for at least 5 years.
Oh, 5 years. Okay.
You witnessed your best friend's murder.
Yeah. That's very sad. Very
and traumatic. Now R&B Cat is rapping at you about broads.
Yeah. Let down.
I can't do it. So like mature. Him and Offset should make up just for this, because it's like Offset should come and rap and then like do choreo, because you know he'd be dancing. All right. <sure. laughs> Cause you know, I mean, that would be the fair fight. Like, okay, I'm gonna rap at you first, Chris Brown, and then we're gonna have a dance battle. Like that, you know, like that would be a real show of love. We'll see what happens. Keep your luck right here, the Amanda Seale Show.
The Amanda Seale Show.
We up, we up, we up.
McDonald's is not new to chicken. So maybe stop questioning their chicken cred and get your hands on the McCrispy. Juicy fried chicken, buttery bun, unmatched pickle to chicken ratio. Yeah, they know what they're doing. In fact, we can honestly say they're not new to chicken. They're true to chicken. The McCrispy. Only at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Welcome back, y'all. It's the Amanda Seale Show. I am Amanda Seales. And earlier we were talking about French singer Aya Nakamura, who basically the French are like hating on her performing at the Olympics because she's a black woman. And they're like, that doesn't represent France, which I find preposterous. But we had come up with some ideas for her performance. But you know what? Our brother Supreme right here, he said, I got some ideas too. So I said, let's come back to it. So Supreme, what can you add to this whole like performance?
Just bring in a special guest appearance, like somebody from America maybe to come through and sing Lift Every Voice and sing.
Oh!
Because that would really get them riled up.
If,
like Beyonce or somebody came out there, helped out on the tag team with Lift Every Voice and Sing. What?
And if they learned it in French, I'm going to give even more props. I don't speak French, but I feel like it was going to be like, yeah, it sounds something like that. Yeah. C'est bon. Let's go to the phone line.
O.J. Simpson's legacy, for those that are probably maybe 47 and over, we really did believe that O.J. didn't do it, and I still believe that, because even in the aftermath, if you look at his children, they never wanted to leave his side. They actually requested to be with O.J. If you're beating your mom up and doing all of that, you're a monster, and kids don't lie. They were too young to play the game. They wouldn't want to be with him. I also believe that you don't kill what you're addicted to. And I believe that he was addicted to white females, as athletes have been trained to be, especially in his time period. he did have an excellent legal team, Johnny Cochran, but there was a white man, not Mr. Kardashian, and I'm going to bring a point to that. There was a white man on his team that was known for getting off every high-profile murder case that ever was.
Mm.
Supreme, you're the expert here. Who?
Yo, she brings up some very good points. Very good points. That was F. Lee Bailey she was talking about that was on the team that was known for that. And they've been going crazy on at Seal Said It all weekend. I've been getting the notifications about people arguing about how should we remember OJ. So it's definitely still a hot topic. He will be remembered for being a hot topic forever, I think. So, yeah.
Her saying that you don't kill what you're addicted to.
Yo, that's
that,
why.
That made my whole brain just like, I am the exploding brain emoji. So, yeah. Yeah, I got to ponder that. When we get back, we're going to talk about this week's episode from Small Doses, Side Effects of Freedom Fighters with Linda Sarsour. Keep it locked right here at the Amanda Seal Show.
The Amanda Seal Show.
We up, we up, we up.
We ain't nobody's fool. We shaking up.
Sean and Amanda Seals. Hope everybody is having a wonderful Monday. We up, we up, we up. Thank you for listening. Did you know that on this day, April 22nd in 1978, Bob Marley returned from exile nearly 2 years after an assassination attempt? I did not know that.
He headlined
the One Love Peace concert in Kingston, Jamaica. The event is known as the Jamaican Woodstock. I'm wondering if that's where the famous "One Good Thing About Music: When It Hits, You Feel No Pain," because that's a live version of that song that I listen to all the time. And I wonder if that's maybe where the famous recording of "No Woman, No Cry," the live recording of "No Woman, No Cry."
Yeah.
I wonder if that came from there. The idea for the concert came from two rival gang leaders who were incarcerated in the same jail cell. Why haven't we made that movie? Where is that movie?
That sounds pretty good.
Did they make that in Jamaica Wood? Because I need to see that film. In Yachty Wood, if there isn't a Jamaican film like industry called Yachty Wood, then it needs to get started. Please get focused, y'all. At the time, because Shatas would obviously be the beginning of that.
Anyways,
at the time, tensions and violence were mounting as two political parties were vying for power. While Marley brought the leaders of the opposing parties on stage together, unfortunately, it did little to bring about peace. But the idea was very dope. The idea was great. Yeah. Coming up this hour, the Supreme Court case that could impact the homeless crisis. Also, we're going to kick off the group chat topic of the week. We're going to discuss who gets to speak up for the Black community on certain issues. Yeah. And we got my Small Doses segment, Side Effects of Freedom Fighters. All right. Stay connected with us 24/7 on all socials at Seal Said It, and give us a call at 1-855-AMANDA-8. That's 1-855-262-6328. Apparently, I just gave away that I didn't see the Bob Marley movie, One Love, because the chat is telling us that that's actually the premise of the film.
I wasn't talking
about just that. Like, I think that just like the story of these two gang leaders, like being in the same cell together, that's the movie.
Yes.
Even if it's not a true story about that, like that concept, there's something there. There's something there. All right, we got more short for you. When we come back, don't go anywhere. Amanda Seals Show, y'all. Everybody, I'm Amanda Seals, your favorite comedian and common sense specialist. Let's drop in some Blackurate news. All right. The U.S. Supreme Court considering a homeless ban. What? I know this is dead air, but I just needed to take a breath because...
Yeah, that's wild.
What does that even mean? A homeless ban? So... We're not going to give you anywhere to live, but we're going to ban you not having anywhere to live. What is this place? What is this country? What is it? It's questioning if laws against sleeping outside when no shelter is available are constitutional.
Yeah.
So the city of Grants Pass, Oregon, faces a growing homeless crisis with hundreds of residents living outdoors in public parks. The Supreme Court's decision could have far-reaching consequences impacting cities across the country struggling with homelessness and their ability to address the crisis effectively. What I believe that they're trying to do is they're pushing to create sanctuary cities, which are effectively concentration camps, you know, like the ghettos that Jewish people were forced to live in the Holocaust while they were awaiting, you know, being sent to the concentration camps. Like those were still concentration camps. They were just, they just had different rules. But even when we talk about Gaza, Gaza is by de facto a concentration camp because people cannot leave by choice. And it is a walled in space of land. And I believe that's what they're pushing people towards.
I've always felt like homeless people are left out there to show that this is the consequence for not being a participant in society. If you don't want to work, you can be homeless. This is always to implement fear to make people participate in society. That just criminalizes homeless people off the break. So if you don't have an address, we can lock you up and do whatever we want to do to you.
So I had Shirley Raines on my show. Okay. Shirley Raines, she works down in Skid Row here in Los Angeles, which is the, you know, huge homeless population, houseless population.
Crazy. Yeah.
And she, you can follow her on Instagram, Beauty to the Streets. And she was on my show and I had said something similar to her. And she was like, listen, when people say I want to be homeless, it's like the lie that you tell yourself because you can't figure out how to get out your situation.
Got you. Okay.
And it really hit me, right? Because you're like, well, I mean, that's what people say. She's like, I'm with them every day. They
Nobody
don't want
wants to be homeless.
Nobody wants to be homeless.
Yeah.
And Finland provides counseling and resources with no conditions in their housing first model. Mm-hmm. Houston has something similar that they're creating. They house 700 homeless people using that model. This is something that could really work. But a lot of people want to get work, but they can't get jobs. I mean, think about the interview process for jobs these days. First of all, for a lot of jobs, you have to have an address to have a job.
Exactly.
Which I don't understand. I can't just come here and work. What do I need the address for?
You have to have an address to have a license.
Mm. Everything is hard, Supreme.
Yeah. They want you in the house.
I don't like it. But they don't have houses to put you in.
Yeah, but they do. They just don't give them to people. You have to.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, yes. You have to participate in whatever is going on in the world, whether it be working a job or having money and participating in the economy to have a place to live. Yeah.
Oh my God.
That's crazy.
The Amanda Seale Show.
The Amanda Seale Show.
We up, we up, we up.
Welcome back to the Amanda Seale Show. I am Amanda Seales. It's time for our group chat topic of the week. Recently, Stephen A. Smith.
Oh, man.
He made an appearance on Fox News. See where this is going already? And he talked about whether or not Trump was gaining. Just walk with me on this because it'll make sense. So just walk with me on this. First, step one of this is I need you to listen to what he said on whether or not Trump was gaining traction with the black vote. So just take a listen.
But I got to tell you something. As much as people may have been abhorred by Donald Trump's statement weeks ago, talking about how black folks, he's hearing that black folks find him relatable because what he's going through is similar to what black Americans have gone through. He wasn't lying. He was telling the truth.
This is one of the most annoying people in the world.
Whose man is this?
Whose man? So he received backlash over him saying this. You know, he received backlash from black folks. And he had this message for the black folks that he got backlash from. Let's listen to that.
When I brought up Trump and whatever relation he has with black folks, the question that was asked to me was the supporters of Trump. Why are they doing so? I said, black folks want to be safe in the streets of America. They don't want to see somebody committing crimes, assault or whatever, and getting arrested and being out of jail in the same day. I said, black folks want to make money and they want to keep money in their pocket. They want to be safe. That's what I said. And I also said this. I said, yo, our criminal justice system, our courts, law enforcement, that anytime we see anybody that we deem to be an individual being persecuted, where the law is being exercised against them, the heavy hand of the law.
Please, just stop, just stop, just stop, just stop, just stop. Talk about misusing a pulpit. Sheesh. A bully pulpit. So just because you're saying something really loud and, you know, with your chest does not mean it's accurate. Now, I get in trouble for saying things really loud and with my chest, even though it's accurate. But because I have breasts on my chest, it's a problem. Okay. I have a lot to say. So I'm first going to just hand it over to Supreme and TJ. Is what Black community is he talking about? Because the question for our group chat topic of the week is, who gets to talk about the Black community?
Just because he can speak on sports real good. And I will give him
that. I don't think that's that good. Wait a minute.
Oh, okay. I don't watch him, his commentary. I just assume he was one of the top paid announcers on ESPN. So I'm thinking the brother got to know his sports. But just because he's big in that arena does not make him an activist for all black people.
Let me say this. With sports, you either get it right or you get it wrong. It's 50-50 with sports. Nah, like you get like you it's really 50-50. Either one team is gonna win or the team is gonna lose. Right. Like it's not really, you know.
A lot of nuance and intellect. And,
like as far as Stephen A. Smith though, like you know Stephen A. Smith doesn't know what he's talking about sometimes when he gets emotional and he starts raising his voice. He reminds me of the sports version of DJ Academics. I mean, they do the same thing. Like they get all hype and riled up, speaking into the camera, yelling and stuff like that when it's some kind of take that they know is just going to spark emotions. And I don't even think Stephen A. Smith believes what he's saying half of the time. He just knows that he can play that game, especially with sports fans getting all emotional. Oh, LeBron is terrible. Like, calm down. Calm down. If you're going to win the game or you're not going to win the game. It's not that serious. But I don't think Stephen A. Smith is the voice of the Black community at all.
So we want to hear from you guys. Like, who do you feel like speaks for your Black community? Because we always talk about how the Black community is not a monolith. And we understand at this point that there are different sectors of this Black community. So I would love to hear from you guys. Who do you feel like speaks for your sector of your Black community? And what does that Black community look like? What does it feel like to you? And the last thing I'll say is Stephen A. Smith, the person you're talking about, Donald Trump, is the same white man who took out an ad on the Exonerated Five.
That's a fact.
So what you're addressing is not him being relatable to Black people who have experienced this. What you're addressing is him experiencing the karma of perpetuating this onto Black people. Those are two very different things. We'll be right back to the Amanda Seales Show. Keep it locked.
The Amanda Seales Show.
We up, we up, we up.
Welcome back, y'all. This week, it's Amanda Seales here. This week is our Small Doses podcast episode, Side Effects of Being a Freedom Fighter. We were joined by Linda Sarsour. Linda Sarsour is a Palestinian activist. She works with Until Freedom, which is an organization that also works with, that also is led up by Tamika Mallory and My Son. You always see her there with her hijab, standing 10 toes down. I was so honored to finally have her on the podcast. Let's check it out.
And I got to experience Palestine, not just as the place that my family was from. I got to experience oppression. Like I remember going to visit my uncle in a prison and someone having to explain to me, oh, well, your uncle was in a group of men and then the IDF came and they detained them all. And then my uncle was in this, what they call arbitrary detention, where they just could make it up as they go along. People are not often charged with crimes. Right. And it's like, and so even as a young child going to Palestine, I was like, this is not right. And then my mom had to sit me down and be like, let's explain what's going on here. Why are there soldiers here? Why is there an occupation? What happened? What's the, so I got to learn my lineage and my story. And then I was able to be the person in the U.S. that invoked my Palestinianness, which is what my parents taught us to be. They said, if anybody asks you where you're from, yes, you're born and raised in Brooklyn, but you are Palestinian. And I think that's part of it. That coupled with being the oldest child, that being coupled with being a child of immigrants, I'm always 10 toes down every time, everywhere, every place. You could always count on me in that space. And that's kind of how I'm known in the movement.
Well, first of all, it was just really dope having Linda because she's just so intense and I'm so intense. And so getting to be with another intense person, I feel like I'm just at home, right? I don't feel like I got to tone anything down. I don't feel like I got to explain myself or make myself more palatable. It's like she gets where I'm coming from. I get where she's coming from. And when she's talking about this, it's really important that people get to hear these stories from people who have experienced this, right? Yeah, because I absolutely. Think so much of this is, you know, the news or historians, et cetera. But no, these are real stories from real people that you know and that you watch and that you see and you listen to. And it also helps give so much context to why she is so intense and why she is so committed to liberation. And when you have people say like, well, that's what's going on over there. It doesn't matter to us over here. Well, here's Linda, who is 10 toes down for Breonna Taylor, right? 10 toes down to make sure that Daniel Cameron doesn't get elected in Kentucky because they know it's going to be bad for the Black people of Kentucky. Like 10 toes down for standing up against Cop City. Like if it's about injustice, particularly against Black people in this country, like her and the Until Freedom crew, like they don't play around. And I think it really speaks to the reality that there's such a connectivity between all of our communities and the oppression. And so she is an embodiment of that. And I think we can all learn from that. So make sure you check out the episode. It was a really beautiful episode in the talk this week on Small Doses, Side Effects of Being a Freedom Fighter. We'll be right back. The Amanda Seale Show.
The Amanda Seale Show.
We up, we up, we up.
Yes, y'all, it's the Amanda Seale Show. Hope everybody is listening and enjoying. And I hope you're learning and activating. Hit me up 1-855-AMANDA-8. That's 1-855-262-6328. Apparently, y'all are still feeling some type of way about the Meg Thee Stallion twerking challenge. But, you know, we got time. So let's go to the phone lines.
Hey, Amanda. Just want to say love and appreciation for all that you do. My name is Yogi May. And as far as, like, the twerk contest, I feel as though women should do what they want to do. You feel me? I heard she say something as far as, being a better mom, a better sister. You don't know what each individual woman goes through each day. You feel me? And dancing is a form of like freedom, releasing, you moving chakras around and certain energy points. Like they used to twerk in Africa. You feel what I'm saying? So to each his own. You know, you should be doing other stuff outside of twerking. If that's your income, so be it. You feel me? It takes a lot of people to make the world go round. But just thank you for all that you do. Love from Philly. That's all I wanted to say. Peace and love, Yogi.
Okay, Yogi. Shout to the whole Philly. All right. I love when I get love from Philly.
Right? You can tell it's from Philly.
Yes. I was like waiting for it. Like, yeah, it was from Philly. That's what's up. And I completely agree with everything Yogi had to say. All right. Next hour, we got the 60-second headlines plus politicians say the darndest things. Don't go anywhere. It's the Amanda Seale Show. Keep it locked. Listen, laugh, and learn.
The Amanda Seale Show.
We up, we up, we up.
Shaking up the system, rewrite unwritten rules. We speak, the world will listen.
We shine and rise. We up, we up, we up.
The Amanda Seale Show.
Set it, y'all.
We up, we up, we up.
What up, what up, what up, y'all? It's the Amanda Seale Show. I'm Amanda Seales. It's time to listen, laugh, and learn with the word of the day. Are you ready? DJ Supreme.
Yes, yes, yes.
The word of the day is circumlocution.
And this one sounds like five different words.
I know it does.
Circumlocution.
Circumlocution.
Does this have, I would say, circumcision is in there, curriculum's in there. It's a little bit, this one right here is a beast. Let's say, is it about keeping motion, keeping something moving, keeping the circumlocution moving, like something like that? No?
You're on the right track. Like, you're actually not completely off track, but it's a bit more specific. It refers to the use of many words to say something that could be said more clearly and directly with fewer words. So you were in the mindset of like motion, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
but it's basically like, it's like Stephen A. Smith does all of these tiresome circumlocutions to defend points that have absolutely no validation or merit.
Got it. I'm ready for Friday. It sounds like they combined a whole bunch of words to do that, too.
It does, because I hear locomotive in there, so it's like the loco, but then it's also like, when I hear circumlocution, I also hear like Locutus, and Locutus was a villain on Star Trek.
Right.
He was a member of the Borg. And the thing that would make me remember that is that the Borg speak in like very, very like small sentences. Like they'll just say like, resistance is futile. And that lets you know, we're going to kill you. We're going to take your whole stuff. We're going to take everything.
Okay.
So they are the opposite of circumlocutus. they are very efficient in their linguistics. All right, we got more of that. I just did see how I nerded out right there. That was a nice little nerd out moment. And I would have loved to have continued that further, but we're on a radio show. We'll be right back. We got more for you right here at the Amanda Seals Show. Welcome back, y'all. It's the Amanda Seals Show. I'm Amanda Seals, and you know how we do at this time of the day.
Politicians say the darnest things.
Okay. You know, there's trouble in paradise for the Republican Party. Okay. The same party that was in lockstep drinking Trump's bathwater is now fighting each other. We like to call that a little thing called Mayo Massey. So here's the issue. Georgia Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene is threatening to get rid of the House Speaker Mike Johnson because he worked with Democrats to get the foreign aid package passed this weekend. So, but the thing is, when you oust the Speaker, no work can get done. The thing is also that not everybody is down with this within the Republican Party. And so folks is really like feeling some type of way. Let's listen to Texas Representative Republican Tony Gonzalez.
He will survive. Look, the House is a rough and rowdy place, but Mike Johnson is going to be just fine. I served 20 years in the military. It's my absolute honor to be in Congress, but I served with some real scumbags. Look, Matt Gaetz, he paid minors to have sex with him at drug parties. Bob Good endorsed my opponent, a known neo-Nazi. These people used to walk around with white hoods at night. Now they're walking around with white hoods in the daytime. What didn't surprise me that some of these folks voted against aid to Israel, but I was encouraged to see by a nearly 10-1 mark that Republicans supported our allies on the battlefield. Members are tired. We're exhausted. It has been a brutal Congress, but we're also dug in. You know, for some reason, these fringe people think as if they have the high ground. They do not. I assure you, the rank and file members that normally are kind of easygoing, you know, doing the right thing, put their head down, they vote yes or no, but they're not public about it. Those days are over. The fight is here. And this whole pushing, you know, if someone's going to poke you in the chest, the way you take care of a bully is you bloody their nose. And that's where we're at. We're at a point where we're just trying to govern. And that's what Mike Johnson has done. Govern in an honorable way. You do not leave your allies on the battlefield to bleed out. I know that because I served 20 years in the military and 5 years in Iraq and Afghanistan. The politics is pretty thick right now, but we have to stand up now more than ever. I think you're seeing Republicans go, we want to govern.
I just think it's a bunch of hogwash and BS. They haven't governed this entire 4 years. Like the only reason they're all of a sudden trying to govern or trying to look like they're governing, in my opinion, is because it's politically something that they can maybe like sway in their favor. You know, there are elections coming up for a number of them. But I think there's also something important to just point out that now you want to start talking about these people being white supremacists and Nazi supporters and Matt Gaetz being a statutory rapist. Y'all wasn't even trying to get rid of homeboy who was a full-on fraud.
Right.
George Santos, like that should have been a one and done. Like, get him out of here. But everything is political. Mm-hmm. So don't come here now and try and stand on values, try and stand on ethics, because it only is effective or it only matters when it's serving your political purpose. That's it.
To me, it sounds like he was doing a whole bunch of circumlocutions. And he was an idiot talking all that garbage.
All these idiots talking a bunch of garbage.
Say less. Say less. We'll be right back, man. It's the Amanda Seals Show.
The Amanda Seals Show.
We up, we up, we up.
All right, y'all, let's get on out of here. It's the Amanda Seals Show. I'm Amanda Seals, your favorite comedian and common sense specialist. We covered a lot of stories today, so make sure you check us out wherever you get your podcasts so you can listen and catch up on all of that. If you missed the show today, we talked about a number of things that I know you want to hear about, so make sure you check us out wherever you get your podcasts. Also want to just point out something that we didn't get to talk about, but a third person has now self-immolated, which means setting themselves on fire as an extreme act of protest. A man named Alex Azzarello, he set himself on fire in front of the Trump trial courthouse. And he did so in protest because he was saying that he feels that the Republicans and the Democrats are working together to really bring the people down into a fascist government. And he had started posting things on his page that people may call conspiracy theories, but at this point, it seems like it's just the uncovering and the revealing of things that are attempted to be quieted to the main people of our nation. And I just think it's worth noting, one, I want to say rest in peace to him because he did pass away from his injuries. When we're in a nation where three different people have felt like their only way of standing up is to light themselves on fire.
That's terrible.
That is terrible. It really, truly is demonstrative of where we are. And I know that it is so easy for us to still go on with our daily lives thinking that things aren't that bad because we're managing. But I think it's a really strong indicator that we have to pay attention to. So I want to say rest in peace to him, and I hope that his family are in company with each other. Please make sure to hit us up, 1-855-AMANDA-8. That's 1-855-262-6328. Remember to stay connected with us on social media at Seal Said It. And also go to AmandaSeals.com and find out when I'm going to be in your city doing stand-up comedy on the Unlikable Tour. All right. Now, coming up on Tuesday's show, we'll have all your Blackerit news. We'll let you vent about voting. I would love hearing from you guys. Plus, the Seal Squad will be here for How Black Do You Feel? Big Up, Let Down, 60 Second Headlines, plus all that and more on Tuesday's Amanda Seals Show. Remember, and I mean this, we are each other's business. When we look out for each other, we lift each other up. Stay safe, y'all.
The Amanda Seals Show.
We up, we up, we up.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.